A prayer of David, Psalm 141, verse 3. It says there, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Can we say that together? Psalms 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. How many of you found Psalm 41? 141. Amen. Five of you found it. How many of you found Psalm 141? Amen. Let's look at the third scripture, third verse together. Let's read it out together. It says there, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I just want to give a title to this word, and the title is very simple. Don't get angry. Look at somebody and say, don't get angry. Don't get angry if your pastor is going to preach a long message and you're feeling sleepy. Don't get angry. Amen. It is said that women on an average get angry 3 times a week. By the smiles of some of you, I can understand you have overshot your limit. And men, 6 times a week. Men get angry over things, and women normally get angry over men. It is said that singles get twice as angry as married people. And many a time we get angry with the ones that we love. The most favorite place for people to lose their anger is in their home. And amidst people who love them. 51% of illnesses, doctors say, is related to anger. Anger is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, 375 times in the Bible says God got angry. And you are created in the image and likeness of God. So getting angry is pretty okay. But what we're speaking about is anger that is uncontrolled and anger that is wrong. Anger that is abusive is not from God, and God does not want you to move in it. I get angry sometimes. Not sometimes. As a matter of fact, last 1 month I was praying and asking the Lord for the fruit of self-control. Because I was just, without realizing, I was just losing my cool. And it was not like a small little angry word. I was kind of raging. It was almost like a volcano about to erupt. And I thank God I didn't take it out on you in the church. Most of the time I took it out on my dog and on my wife. It is said that anger is something is not there within the system of anybody when they are born. It is actually something that is learned. You either learn it from people around you, you learn it from movies, you learn it from books. And so the good news today is if you have learned anger and anger is a part of your life, you can unlearn it and have victory over it. Amen. There are 4 different ways that usually people show up their anger. The first kind of anger is what is called the machine gun anger. Look at somebody and say, the machine gun. Come on, I didn't hear the machine gun anger. That's like The anger that lets you have it, you know what? It's like there are some people who are like a walking time bomb. Sometimes people just want others to have. Just have it. So they just burst out. And it goes on and on and on and on. It's almost like a machine gun. Genesis chapter 4 and verses 5 and 8, the Bible says, Cain was angry with his brother Abel. And so while they were in the field alone, Cain attacked Abel. It's a machine gun. Cain literally attacked. It was a machine gun anger. Just let Abel have it. Most of the time the attacker will regret it, feel bad, but sometimes it's pretty too late. You've already hurt the one that you love. The second expression of anger is what you call the mute. They just clam up. They don't blow up. They get silent. As a matter of fact, they can actually disguise their anger. They hold it in. As a matter of fact, it's almost like you're cooking a stew. It's a slow burner. One day it'll come out, it's slowly burning inside of you. Something that somebody said, some way that somebody behaved with you, you have slowly dropped it in a small part of your emotion. It's working there. It's cooking there. You're silent. You smile at the person. You know, say, hi, praise the Lord, nice to see you. But it's almost like you're waiting for a good time. That's what sometimes people say. It's just, you know, some people swallow their angers. Swallow their anger. The other anger shows up. It just comes out. But this one, the mutes are the ones who swallow the anger. Whatever you swallow is going to work in your system, in your stomach. Sometimes high BP, terrible headache, all that comes forth from swallowed anger. You're upset with your husband, you're upset with your children, you're pretty angry with people around you, and you can't show it. Because if you shout, the husband might shout even louder. If you take the chapel, he might take the shoes. If you take the plate, he might take the dagger. So you eat up your anger. I mean, you swallow it, you keep it up. You feel you are in a low advantage position and you can't take it out. You swallow it. But what happens is it will destroy your health. Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 17 and 18. Let's look at that. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, verses 17 and 18.
I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand.
Yeah.
For you have filled me with indignation.
Yes. He said, I've swallowed up. I'm filled with indignation. I'm just upset inside. I'm just angry inside. The third anger is what is called the mutter. The guy or the girl who wants to throw a party, a pity party. Passive anger. You think you are a victim. You get upset with yourself. You begin to ask the question, because everything goes wrong. You ask, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? My kids are behaving bad. My husband is acting strange. My neighbors don't like me. My friends keep away from home. What's wrong with me? What? It's the kind of anger that keeps on saying, you know, I should have not behaved that way. I should have. You keep blaming yourself. It is said that depression is caused by frozen anger. Depression is caused by frozen anger. People who freeze their anger, who take it out on themselves for everything that goes wrong around in their lives. There's a person in your workplace who is behaving bad. There is somebody who is abusing you, but you still say, I am responsible for it. I am responsible. There could be something wrong with me. I am responsible. And you feel like a martyr. You feel like a victim. You take it on yourself. Many a time when you're dealing with depression in people, the real reason could be, just ask them this question: what are you angry at? Who are you angry with? Luke chapter 15, verse 28. We remember the story of the prodigal son. Are you with me this evening? Amen. We know the story of the prodigal son. But there was an elder brother. And the Bible says when the younger one came home and the father threw a party, the elder one got angry. Luke 15, 28 says he got angry. And the father had to come out and literally plead with him. Please come into the house. Come join the party. Just don't keep away. Please come. Please come. The fourth one is called the manipulator. Anger as a manipulator. There you don't get mad. You want to get even. Are you with me? It's even Stephens. You want to get even. They will never tell you on their face when they're angry with you, but they want to get even. So they do things to make you look bad. And this is kind of anger that usually happens among people who are kind of religious. Sometimes a religious person will say, I was grieved in the spirit. Somebody said in Southern America, Southern belt of America, anytime you meet somebody and who says, God bless you, dear. You know, they're angry about something. You break their, glass or something, and they say, God bless you, dear. Yeah, bye. That's a religious language. Luke chapter 6 verses 10 and 11. Look at the scripture. Luke chapter 6 verses 10 and 11.
And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other one.
Jesus worked a miracle, fantastic miracle. But look at how the religious people saw it. The next verse.
But they were filled with rage.
But they were filled with rage. The Pharisees were filled with rage.
And discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus.
And so they began to discuss with one another. Their prayer meetings, they're sitting and discussing. How can we topple this Jesus? Are you with me? How many of you are with me this evening? Amen. It's a very calculating kind of mindset. You're angry, you're upset, and you want to get even, and you're looking, when can I? How can I? So like I said in the beginning of the message, anger is something that you learn and you can unlearn it. So I want to tell you quickly from scripture how you can disarm your anger. Look at somebody and say, disarm your anger. Amen. Number one, calculate the cost of anger. Look at somebody and say, calculate the cost of anger. Say that again. Calculate the cost of anger. Look at Proverbs chapter 29, 22. Read fast. Anya, plenty of scriptures. Proverbs 29, verse 22.
An angry man stirs up strife.
An angry man stirs up
strife.
An angry man, open your mouth and say, an angry man.
An angry man
stirs up strife or trouble. Read on.
And a furious man,
and a furious man
abounds in transgression,
will abound in sin. So look at what anger does to you. Anger will make you to be troublesome, and anger will cause you to sin. So there is an anger which doesn't cause you to sin, because Jesus said, if you're, you know, angry, let not the sun go down on your anger. You remember that? But there is an anger that causes you to sin, causes trouble. Your anger, your behavior, your words, literally creating trouble at home, creating trouble at church, creating trouble among your friends. Proverbs 15 verse 18. Proverbs 15 verse 18. Yes.
A wrathful man stirs up strife.
Another version says a wrathful man enters into arguments. You're always looking for something to argue about. You're looking for trouble. You're actually looking how you can get into an argument. Are you with me? Proverbs 14 verse 29.
He who is slow to wrath has great understanding. But he who is impulsive exalts folly.
Yes, makes mistakes. One version uses the word makes mistakes. Many people make mistakes in their life because of their anger. Makes them to do foolish things. So I want you to repeat this after me, because I believe this word is something which, this is a topic which I've never dealt with. Are you with me? And I pray this word is sent forth for a purpose, that God wants to set you free from unresolved anger and resentment and bitterness within your souls. He wants to set you free. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to repeat this with me. I always lose when I lose my temper. Amen. I always lose when I lose my temper. You alienate people because of anger. Anger destroys the relationship more than anything else. More than anything else, anger destroys the relationships. Now, how do I discern the anger? The second way is look past the words to their pain. Open your mouth and say, look past the words to their pain. The person who is getting angry with you, don't retaliate back with their words that they say, but look past the words to their pain. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 11. Proverbs 19 verse 11.
The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression.
Yes. It says glory is to overlook a transgression. Hurt people will hurt people. Unloving people will make you feel unloved. People who have never received love. When somebody is saying some really hurtful words, it means they are literally crying out inside and saying, I need some love. I am feeling insecure. When somebody is mean, when somebody is saying something, remember, silently they are crying out and saying, listen, I am in pain, somebody help me. Are you with me? So you got to learn in your life to disarm anger in the family. When somebody comes to you, learn it next time you are in the traffic light and somebody bangs against your car. And that person gets angry, comes at you, disarm anger. Don't go out. I always wanted to be a poet. I used to write poems when I was young. So this is a poem that I wrote. They drew a circle that shut me out. A heretic, a rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had a wit to win. We drew a circle that took them in. Say, wah, bye, wah, 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 wah. You want to hear that again? Isn't that good? Pretty good? You want to put that on your Facebook page? Front? They drew a circle that shut me out. A heretic, a rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had a wit to win. We drew a circle that took them in. Well, I wish it was my poem, but it was not. So we give glory to Jesus. Edwin Markham wrote that poem. But I thought it was cool. Don't you think it is cool? Don't you think it is cool? Yeah. You go to a psychologist if you have anger, and you know what they'll say? I've been there, I know it. Your bucket is full. You gotta empty it, express it, and you will be happy. Your bucket is full. You gotta empty it, express it, and you will be happy. Sometimes they teach you, when you're really, 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 really upset, take a pillow, and if you're upset with your wife, see your wife's picture in that pillow and take it out. Because in real life, it might be the other way around. She might be the one punching you. But one thing that I've realized is you don't have a bucket. Are you with me scripturally? It's almost like a factory. So you can never empty a bucket. Anger is sometimes like a factory. It keeps on producing. You learned it, and you, every time something happens, you want to have this response. So you look to produce it. But you got to learn, aggression creates more aggression until it becomes a habitual pattern. One time you've lost your cool, it is easy to lose your cool a second time. The third way that you disarm your anger is think before reacting. Open your mouth and say, think before reacting. Say that again. Think before reacting. Amen. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Look at that scripture. Proverbs 29 verse 11.
A fool vents all his feelings.
A fool vents all his feelings.
But a wise man holds them back.
A wise man holds it in and allows it to cool down. Are you with me? A wise man won't express it out. He will hold it in. He will allow it to cool down. In Hebrew, that word actually means to cool down, to hold it in, to cool down. So actually the word chill out is a biblical term. You can look at somebody and say, just chill, man, just chill, just chill. It's a biblical term, just chill. You ask yourself this question: why am I angry? What do I really want? And how can I get it? Many a time, anger actually muddles up your mind. You're just getting emotional and just reactive and just going on. But just sit down calmly and think, hello, why am I angry? You asked your husband, do I look fat? And he said, yes, you do. Did you ask him? Why are you angry now? What do I really want? How can I get it? That will help you to come to the root cause of anger. And the root cause of anger is always hurt. Just imagine you take a hammer and you want to put this nail onto the window, I mean onto the wall, and you take the hammer and you're trying to hit that nail, and it misses the nail and hits your nail. I can assure you, you're not going to stand there and say, praise the Lord. You're going to literally scream your lungs out. You're really going to lose your cool. You're going to just get totally upset. Why? Because you're wounded. But in life, you have to realize you will get hurt time and again with people. And you have to learn to take your hurt before Jesus and say, Lord, I forgive that person. I bless that person. I'm not going to carry this in my heart. I'll let it go. Are you with me? That is Christian maturity. Are you with me? It'll keep your heart soft. It'll keep your heart tender. It'll keep you in the love of God. The second cause of anger is frustration. Imagine you're forced to wait somewhere, or you're irritated about something, or you can't control a situation. You get pretty upset, you get frustrated, and you lose your cool. Especially if you have children. Have you seen that? You have a child and the child says, Mama, ice cream, I want ice cream. And you just finished your personal prayer and you say, yes, baby, I'll get you ice cream after the prayer meeting today. And the baby after some time says, but Mama, I want ice cream, I want ice cream. So all the fruit of self-control and love and gentleness comes out of you. Hello, baby, I'll get you 2 ice creams after the prayer meeting. Has your mama said that? A little bit more, and the baby goes on and says, Mama, I want an ice cream. And suddenly you know you're losing it. Your husband is calling you, you've got to address a phone call, you've got to drive to church, a lot of things. And especially if you're a high control person, you want to control everything in life. It's pretty frustrating now. Before you know, the car is driving and the baby goes on and says, I want ice cream, stop it, Baskin Robbins, Baskin Robbins. And you lose it. And the Holy Ghost leaves your body. And suddenly you are whacking the child, screaming and shouting. Some of you got to learn to relax and give Jesus the control. Are you with me? The third reason is because of fear. You feel threatened. Any cornered animal will fight back. Any cornered animal will fight back, whether it be your domestic cat or whether it be my Rottweiler dog. You corner the animal, it'll fight back. Thomas Jefferson said this, count to 10. Count to 10. And when you're really angry, count to 100. In other words, don't immediately respond to that mail. Don't immediately respond to that message. It's trying to provoke you. Just relax. Because anger is contagious. You get loud, the other person will get louder. Are you with me? Proverbs 15 verse 1.
A soft answer turns away wrath.
A soft answer. So somebody gets angry with you, a soft answer. What happens if somebody gets angry with you and you shout even louder? And that person shouts even louder. And there's a screaming match going on at home. Don't raise your hands if it is your home. Act cool, act chill. There's a screaming match going on. We've got to learn to, a soft anger turns away wrath. Somebody asked the person, do you get upset when your wife has to have the last word? He said, no, I'm grateful that she gets to it. When you get back home, I want you to take your toothpaste. How many of you use toothpaste? Show your teeth. I want you to take your toothpaste and squeeze it in the middle. Will you do that? Squeeze it in the middle. What will happen? What's inside will come out. Are you with me? When you press a toothpaste, lemonade is not going to come out. Ice cream is not going to come. What's inside will come out. The same way in life, when life seems to pressurize you and everything is squeezing you, it is only what is inside that will come out. And so what you need to have inside, you need to say on a daily basis, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. You get upset when you're so full of yourself. You gotta be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Many a time anger is because you think, oh, your ego is hurt. It's you're so full of yourself. But you gotta go to Jesus, lay your life at his feet and say, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let the fruit of thy Holy Spirit flow through me. The last point, and I close with it and we pray. You get victory by basing your identity in Jesus. Open your mouth and say, I have to base my identity. Say that. I have to base my identity in Jesus. In Jesus. In Jesus. If your identity is in your job, one day you will lose it. If your identity is in your good looks, get back home and look at Clint Eastwood now. You will lose your good looks. You will get old. You can't base your identity on that. If you base your identity on the person that you married, one day God will call that person home. If you base your identity on popularity, just wanting to be popular, nobody can be popular all through their life. You look at any cricket star, football star, any movie star, whoever. Even preachers for that. There is a time and space when God is literally moving through their lives in fire. And they seem to be popular, but you can't base your identity on that time of popularity. It'll go. Are you with me? Not on fame, not on money. You base your identity on Jesus Christ. You are his child. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what is the root cause of anger? Insecurity. And you gotta be secure in the love of Jesus. It doesn't matter who accepts me and who rejects me. What matters is I am enveloped in the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus loves me, and that is more than enough. It doesn't matter who judges me. All that matters is the love of Jesus. I am secure in Christ. The Lord told me once, you know, He told me, son, I called you alone. The Lord said, in the beginning, it was you and me. And then I put this guy and that person and this girl and that person and that and that and that and that. I began to add up people and bring through. There'll be days in which they will appreciate you and think you are the greatest pastor, and there'll be days in which they'll think you're the worst person on planet Earth. If you're gonna base your life on either the accolades or the criticism that people bring into your life, you won't stay alive. You won't be able to serve me. See, it doesn't matter who comes, who goes, who likes you, who doesn't. What matters is I will be with you to the very end of age. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Your security has to be in the love of God. It has to be in the person of Christ. Look at somebody and say, God loves me. Look at somebody and say that God loves me. I belong to Jesus. I am His. He will never forsake me. He will never reject me. He accepts me the way I am. I've realized in life that people who come, people have their own agendas. Yeah, you know, when somebody invites you for dinner, it's never a free dinner. There'll be something to pray for, some doubt to ask, whatever. People come with their own needs. Whatever, they have something. Either they want God to use them and they feel that, okay, listen, pastor, help me to do what I want to do. You don't help me, I'll go to some other church. The Lord told me, son, your security is in me. Are you with me? Ephesians 1, it says in the 4th verse, I am accepted in the beloved. Open your mouth and say that I am accepted in the beloved. That is Jesus. You are accepted even before you did one good thing. With the way you are, God has accepted you in Jesus Christ. You are accepted in the beloved. It's from that security that you can stay calm. Are you with me? Not feel pressured and do what God has called you to do. Amen. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Let's pray together today. Before I close the meeting, I want to ask you, is there unresolved anger and hurt and bitterness and frustration and an undercurrent in your heart? If so, come to Jesus this evening. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, come unto me, all who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Learn from me because I'm humble and meek of heart. Frustration, unresolved, however way you are masking it, lay it at the feet of Jesus. Would you either kneel down or stand up in the presence of the Lord? Or even if you want to sit down, but would you just place every kind of hurt and bitterness and anger at the feet of Jesus this evening? I don't know where you learned to be angry, but somewhere you learned it. You learned to shout, you learned to be upset, you learned to frown, you learned to, you know, show an attitude. You learned it somewhere. You can unlearn it. You can learn from Jesus. He loves you. He accepts you the way you are. Don't carry that burden. Don't carry that in your gut and spoil your health. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Lay it at the feet of Jesus this evening.